You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Today I'm talking again about prayer. So we've done 8 weeks on prayer, then we took a two-week hiatus. We've done 2 weeks on sowing and reaping and giving and generosity and tithing. And we fit a lot into those 2 weeks, by the way. We'll come back to it again some other time later this year, all right? It'll be all good. We'll unpack that even more later this year. But now today and next week, we're on prayer again. It really is my heart that anyone who hasn't yet just got it, that you get it today. You know, if after these 8 weeks, you're still just like, you know, I'm just hearing sermons on prayer and then I'm just not praying. You know, it's my prayer that today it gets your heart. That today you understand that not just there's a guy up there talking about prayer, that you don't just come to church and hear me talk about prayer, but that this time that you'll go home and pray. That you won't just hear about someone talking about how good it is to talk to God, but you'll go and start to talk to God and listen and wait. And as Pastor Ed said in his sermon, that you'll be still sometimes and know that he is God and let him speak to you and listen to what he has to say. Amen. And so it's my prayer today that that's what will happen in your life. So anyway, I've had a busy week, very busy week. Jed and Matt and I, we went to a conference in South Carolina. I get that right? We went to a little town called Pumpkinville. Actually, it was called Pumpkin Town, but we decided we're going to call them Pumpkinville and see if they try to hit us. And so we're there and we're like, so what's it like living in Pumpkinville? Pumpkin Town, son. And so we went there, bunch of northerners down in the south, bunch of Yankee boys, me and Jed and Matt. We went down there. It was good fun. And we had a great time. I tell you what, Matt, could you stand up, my man? Where are you at? Matt, and your beautiful bride, is she with you? There you go. Stand up, Steph, come on. I went with that giant redhead and the other giant redhead, and I felt safe. It was good. You ever want to feel safe? Just go somewhere with those two boys. Stand in the middle. No one's going to mess with you. No one even look at me. They're like afraid. It's fantastic. But that man right there, Matt Hall and Steph Hall, amazing, amazing people. Like great people. You know, I want you to honor them. They're our young adults leaders now. Can you honor them? Give them a great hand. They run the young adults here at Eternity Church. They absolutely love Jesus. They love the Word of God. They love you guys. They love to worship. And do yourself a favor. Get to know them, particularly if you're a young adult. Get to know them. If you're not a young adult, but you've got young adults, you own some young adults, then invite them over for dinner and get to know them, amen? And you'll have a really good time, I know. They just want to encourage your young adults and you, if you are one, and all of us, just to grow closer to him, amen? And that's a good heart that they've got. They just love seeing people meet Jesus and grow closer to him. So make sure you get to meet them. And Jed, my man, Jed and Christy, stand up. I went the other one. Now, this one doesn't look quite as tough as that one, but this one's amazing still. And these guys are incredible. Christy is our new connections pastor here. She's on staff a day and a half a week and just does an amazing day and a half. She comes in like 3 days a week. She's incredible. And Jed, our man Jed, Pastor Jed, is actually coming on staff in about 2 or 3 weeks. So if you want to know a man who's got faith, because I said, man, look, we just can't commit to full time, you know. We just can't do that. And not yet, maybe 3 weeks after you start, maybe everybody listened to the sowing and reaping and the tithing and generosity sermon, and 3 weeks later we'll be able to say, boom, Jed, full time. But truthfully, that stuff does impact all these other sort of things, you know that, right? And so your generosity impacts our ability to empower more people to be ministers of the gospel out there, amen? And so remember that. And also know that you who do give, that you're a reason why we can continue to grow our staffing base as well, yeah? So God bless you. Thank you. But these guys are just a phenomenal family. God is building his church. I've known for some time now, for years in fact, that God had bigger, more targeted and spiritual, influential plans for these guys and for Jed's life. And so he'll come on staff as the associate pastor here in Des Moines in a couple of weeks. So give these guys a great big hand as well. And just so you know, I'm really not kidding about generosity and how it directly influences and impacts these kinds of things. So we have faith. We're like, come on board. He has faith and says, well, I'll come half time. And you have faith and say, well, I'm going to give more. And we all come together and then good things happen. So praise God for that. So now we're in South Carolina. I just can't say it without adding that twang on there. We're in South Carolina. See, I just tried to and I still can't. But we had to get back here to Des Moines for Piper's birthday party. That's Jed's daughter. And, of course, for church today. But our flights got cancelled. And I'm the guy who brags about how my flights never get cancelled. I only fly American Airlines because my flights never get cancelled. Well, they do if you go to Greenburg or whatever it was called. Was it Greensville? Greensboro, Greensville. Anyway, when you go to South Carolina, they do get cancelled. And it was getting hard to imagine us getting out of Greenville even for church today, let alone for Piper's birthday yesterday at lunchtime. And so we went back out through security and we rented a car and we drove home with 2 hours to spare. So come on, that worked out pretty well. That was about 6 o'clock or something on Friday. We realized we're going to have to leg it out of here. So we went to the rental desk. We said, give us the biggest, baddest car you've got so that we, you know, if someone runs into us, that we'll just be good. You add a big car to the favor of God in your life, you'll be fine. And so we went back through security, rented a car, drove home. Now we're safe. Now, don't think we're foolish. We had 3 of us and 1 person was instructed to sleep at all times. So, you know, we were safe. I'm not recommending, you know, just recklessness. But, you know, when you put 3 grown men in the car together, they're all convinced they're the best driver. And when you add the possibility of death and destruction by a midnight drive, everyone's convinced that, well, of course, I'm the only one who can get us home safe, so I better drive most of the time. Is there any men in here who know exactly how I feel? If you're a man and you know that if you're not driving, you don't feel safe at night, right? Yeah, right? And so you add 3 men and 2 of them redheads, you know, right? Everyone thinks that they are the best driver. They are God's man for the job. Now, I too am convinced that I'm a good driver. Don't laugh. And I am. I'm convinced that I'm a good driver. But when you get all of us together, but obviously no one said that. And, you know, I'm the one admitting it right now. And they know it's true too. But no one said that. We had a great time. There were no fights or nothing like that. But we all took turns driving, one at a time, one sleeping. We got here safe. It was super fun. I learned that both of those guys are better men than I already knew. You know? Sometimes you spend time with people and you're like, man, that really ruined what I thought about that person. You know, that didn't happen here at all. I realized these guys are more godly, have more wisdom and more faith in God than I knew before we hung out together. So I'm grateful. But have any of you here ever been in a car with me? Put your hand up if you have. Yeah, riveting experience, right? Phenomenal experience. You see, then you know that I believe cars were meant to do one of 2 things and one of 2 things only. Stop and go. That's why they only have 2 pedals now. A stop pedal and a go pedal. So it's my conclusion that if you're not stopping, you should be going. Right? Come on now. And if you're not going, then you should be stopping. It doesn't take 48 hours to slow down. Just get near that thing and push the stop pedal. But until your foot goes on a stop pedal, you better leave it on the go pedal, right? That's just how I feel about the situation, right? I also feel like it shouldn't take you 48 hours to get to the speed limit. Come on now. The reason we're making cars more powerful is because everyone knows that Jesus wants you to get to the speed limit faster. It makes sense. That's why we have gasoline. Come on. Now, I'm not talking about driving recklessly and speeding and stuff or spinning the wheels, but come on now. Anyway, I've discovered that most of my passengers, not most, but many of my passengers tend to reach their hand up to the sort of right often when I'm driving. You know the handle that someone appropriately told me is called the oh crap handle? There's a handle up there called the oh crap handle, right? I often find when I'm driving that people reach out for that thing. I don't know why. It's just that they don't know I'm a good driver, right? And so anyway, now I know I've talked to you a lot over the last 10 weeks or so about prayer and how God doesn't just want to be your emergency prayer, right? How God doesn't want to just be in the moment when everything hit the fan that all of a sudden now for the first time in my life I'm going to pray. God doesn't want to be that in your life. Sorry, let me rephrase. God doesn't just want to be that in your life, right? We've talked a lot about that. We've been talking about you spending time daily praying, spending time in the morning or the evening, setting aside a certain time of the day where you spend time speaking to God, where you spend time reading the Word, when you spend time listening to God, when you spend time being still in His presence. We've talked a lot about that. But I want to remind you today that He is also there for the I have no other option, oh crap, moments in your life. Amen? Amen. The moments where you just, oh crap, and you got to grab something. Now, I know we said He's not there just for that, but you better believe He is there for that. Amen? Amen. And if you're not a believer, and if you have never had any other type of prayer in your life, then you too can use prayer. You too can reach out to God in the oh crap moments of your life. It's not like, oh, you haven't been praying, so now this isn't available to you. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that at any moment in your life, you can reach out to God. His hand is there. That He always wants to be your emergency prayer. He just doesn't want to only be your emergency prayer. He wants to also be your emergency prayer, or He wants to be your first prayer if you've never prayed before, but He is, in fact, your emergency prayer also. Whether you've been praying the whole time, speaking to Him daily, reading your Word or not, whether you've been ignorant of His repeated attempts to speak to you or not, when you're about to crash, no matter what the situation has been, He's right there for you, arms stretched out, wanting for you to grab hold of His hand, knowing that He hears you and He will pull you out of that reckless situation. Amen? So let's take a look at Jehoshaphat. I was reminded of Jehoshaphat this week. Let's take a look at Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1 to 23. If you've got your Bibles, read with me. Otherwise, it will be on the screen as well. It says, after this, the Moabites, in fact, I'd like to pray again. Lord God, I pray as I read your word that it would really wash over our hearts, that people would understand that this is the living word of God. And as I read it, Lord, I pray it would go into our hearts and change our lives. God, help us to see the goodness, the greatness, your goodness and greatness in this text, in Jesus' name. Amen. So after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Muscatites with some of the Midianites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom. So the other side of the sea, it is already in Hazan Tamar, that is En Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. Did you catch it? Alarmed. Come on, this is an oh crap moment, right? This is the oh crap. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord, and indeed they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms and the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it, and they have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity come upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them, as God had commanded. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Come on, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. See, there are three armies joining together to come and attack the land. Jehoshaphat the king, he's there and he's told that three whole armies united together are coming to attack him. And he inquires of the Lord. He resolves to inquire of the Lord. In his moment of distress, that emergency moment, he goes to prayer. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Verse 13, all the men of Judah with their wives and children, and I love this little bit, and their little ones. Isn't that nice? All the men of Judah with their wives and children, and their little ones. Make sure you involve your little ones in your prayer. Amen. Don't just pray for the little ones. Get the little ones to pray with you and for you and around you. Amen. Because come on now, God talks about having faith like a little child. Well, it just so happens a lot of us have some of those little children that already have that faith that we can get them to pray for us too. Amen. So them and their little ones stood before the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel as he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle. This is getting better and better and better, isn't it, church? You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. That's interesting. Sometimes God still wants you to do something. After saying you won't have to fight this battle, he says, but take up your positions. See, sometimes you still got to do something. Sometimes you still got to do something for God to put his favor on, amen? Don't just stand there. Don't just sit back and go, well, whatever, okay, sarah, sarah, whatever will be, will be. Come on, do something. And reach out to God. Cry out to God. You will not have to fight this battle, but take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. I don't know about you, but I'm getting filled up with faith as I read this, you know? You haven't read the rest of the story yet. Some of you have never heard the story before. Some of you haven't forgot about it, but right now, come on, is faith rising in your heart? You know, don't be afraid. The Lord will fight this battle, but take up your positions. Verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Got to get a bit passionate sometimes. God help us. They're about to kill us. Come on, get fired up. Yeah, amen. Got an emergency prayer? Get fired up at that time. Come on now. Some Levites stood up with a loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful." After consulting with the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, send out worshipers and praise at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. You ready for something amazing to happen right now? This is about to get real up in here. Are you ready for this? It's about to get real up in here. I know today's sermon is mostly just reading you an amazing story, right? It's about as good as it can get. It's about to get real. Verse 22. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. But how did it happen? This is interesting. I just feel like if I was Jehoshaphat right now, don't read ahead, y'all. Come on now. If I was Jehoshaphat and I'm just watching out from somewhere, right? I'd be like, not see that coming. It's kind of one of these moments. Are you ready? The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. And after they finished slaughtering the men from Mount Seir, they helped to destroy each other. Did not see that coming. Jehoshaphat's like, I got a problem, but my problem just ate itself. And it ate the other two problems too. That's pretty rad, isn't it? It's like kind of, that's as bad as I did not see that coming as it gets. Come on now. And then my favorite bit, this is where it's crazy. I love it. It's not like, and then they destroyed each other. It's, no, then they helped to destroy each other. It's like God's about to destroy my problem, but my problem goes, hey, God, just a moment. I better help you destroy myself. Come on, that's a cool moment. Did not see that coming. Amazing, crazy, weird things can happen when you resolve to inquire of the Lord. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not have to fight this battle. I have to remind you, church, in your oh crap moments, resolve to inquire of the Lord. Resolve to make a point to go to prayer. Can I have the band come back up? Resolve to make it the highest importance in your life that during the day, yes, I'll pray, that I'll start my day with prayer and I'll walk through my day with prayer. But you should make a resolution in your heart that at every moment that things start to get rocky, that at every moment when you start to freak out, that the first inclination you have is to go to the Lord in prayer, resolve to inquire of the Lord, God, what would you want me to do right now? Because God just said, I want you to send out worshipers and I want you to take up your positions, even though that army is three times bigger than you could have imagined. You see, they let us know straight up in here that it wasn't a winnable fight. It's not a winnable fight. You can't win this. You hear what I'm saying? It's not like this is one of those moments where like, you know what? If I save enough money, I could have enough money one day to buy a car. Does that make sense? Right? See, by the way, God wants to help in some of that stuff too, right? There's some things where you can do it, but you want God to accelerate your life, right? There's things you can do to ask God to help to accelerate the process in your life because you need it sooner than when it's coming or whatever else. But there's also some things in life where it's just straight up impossible. It can't happen. And for example, one guy fighting 100 guys, it's not going to fly. He's going to die. That's impossible. And some of you are up against things that are straight up impossible. You're at an oh crap moment in your life. You're at a this just can't happen moment. There's nothing that I can do to fix this. Instead of just freaking out and self-destructing and being like that problem and cannibalizing yourself and everything else that's good in your life, resolve to go inquire of the Lord and have him have the problem cannibalize itself. Amen. Have it destroy itself. And while it's on its way down, have it destroy a couple of other of your problems too. But sometimes stuff's just straight up impossible without God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. This is scripture that I'm sharing with you. And this is why it's in the Word of God. Because there are these moments in our lives. Some of you right now are at one of these emergency moments in your life. And you feel like you're reaching out to grab the handle because you're going to crash anyway. And you're just thinking it's just a reflex. I need to hold this just to make the death more bearable. I'm telling you, let go of that and grab hold of the hand of Jesus Christ. Reach out to the Lord. And how do you do that? It can be as simple as this. If you've never prayed and you don't know what to say, it can be as simple as this. God, right now, without you, this will destroy me. Without you, this will ruin me. And I need you to come right now, God. I need you to come. I need you to help. I need you to stop me from drowning, as Brandon said. Lift me up. God, what do you want me to do? I know there's nothing I can do to fix this, but what do you want me to do anyway, God? I'll do it. No matter what it is, God, no matter what you say, I'll do it, God, I'll do it. And God, but would you come and do a miracle? Would you make this problem die in Jesus' name? Would you fix my marriage? Make my husband love me again? Do something? Or make their heart open to me? Make my wife open to me? God, would you make my heart's boss soften? So maybe they'll give me one more shot and I can do something different. God, tell me how to do it. What do you got to do? It may be an impossible situation, but I promise you that nothing is impossible for God. And that you, my friend, can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You need to run to the Lord. You need to run to the Lord. In fact, we're going to have an altar call right now. This moment. Why don't you run to him right now? Right now. Everyone stand up. Stand up. Everyone stand up. We're going to pray for you. You need prayer? You're facing something? Just come straight down here right now. My team, where's my team? Where are my prayer people? Come on down, yeah. Come on down here. My guys are going to pray for you. These are my guys. These are my people. My people are going to pray for you. They're your people too. And we're going to worship God right now. And as we do, and as you come down here in your emergency moment, why don't you just say, God, I'm going to ask you to do this. And let's see what happens. Amen. Because one thing I know, God loves you to bits. Oh, he's obsessed with you. He's so obsessed with you. Jesus died on a cross so that this moment could happen. And I'm not just talking, I'm talking thorns, spears, whips, hands, feet. So this moment can happen. So you can run to him. What do you got to lose? Here's your two options. Go and die in the problem, or survive by asking God to help. I know which one I'm taking when my next problem comes. Praise the Lord. Church, don't be afraid. Just come straight down here and ask the Lord to do your miracle today. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.